try to get those folks on as guests. Losing your wallet in Cookeville, Tennessee can get you handcuffed on the side of the highway and your dog shot to death by police. At least that was the experience of the North Carolina family returning from vacation in Nashville. Headline from the WorldNet Daily. Traffic stop traumatizes family. Couple handcuffed dog shot to death over lost wallet. To make a long story short, and we'll get details from James Smoke, the father who witnessed these horrors. I hope he sues him. He was at a gas station. The police admit this. He put his wallet on top of the car. How many times has this happened to you? I know you've driven off and the gas cap's fallen on the ground. I've driven off, had the wallet fall off, but went right back and got it. Well, he's going down the road, and somehow money flying around the parking lot. They thought it was a carjacking. They pull him over, get him all in handcuffs. The dog comes out of the car. They shoot the dog. And this just shows how the militarization of police and the corruption of society, which then gives police basically on hair trigger guard, is endangering all of us in this policy of shooting people's dogs for almost nothing. Mr. Smoke, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Basically, is this news article accurate? What exactly?
Well, there's a couple of corrections there. Yes, basically what you just said was accurate, but the wallet flew off on the interstate somewhere around the 226-mile marker, according to the Tennessee State Police. Now, it got gas at exit 221, so the car probably had to get up to speed before the wallet actually blew off.
Now, why did they panic so much at a wallet flying off of a car?
A citizen with a cell phone called them saying that a large sum of money was seen flying through the air off of my car and felt that if something was suspicious that there was probably a robbery. And so they took that and turned it into a possible armed robbery. And I've also seen written in some of the police documents possible carjacking.
Yeah, the report says that. Now, this shows the hysterics in the society. I've talked to one IRS employee who works in the Tattletale Division, and where the Tattletale phone calls come in. Before 911, there were almost no calls. Now they are staffed 24 hours a day. Phones ring off the hook. Wives tattling on husbands. Husbands tattling on wives. Neighbors tattling on neighbors. And there's no real terrorist to report on, so everybody's just hysterically reporting on their neighbor. There was a report last week out of the AP out of Maryland, out of Rockville, Maryland, where they have 10,000-plus phone calls about, oh, my neighbor's got a gun. Well, now they're just SWAT-teaming everybody's house, even though the guns aren't illegal, using those tips after the fact. So this just shows what the tattletale society and overreacting does. So break down, Mr. Smoke, exactly what happened to you.
First of all, we went to Opryland Hotel years ago, my wife and I, on our honeymoon. So we planned a family vacation because we had heard that they added the Delta in the late 90s and the hotel had doubled in size. And we were amazed at how beautiful the inside the hotel was, so we planned another family vacation to Nashville. Everything went lovely until the way home, New Year's Day, I stopped at exit 221 to get gas. And this is what's ironic about it. There was a gentleman there that was admiring my dog, General Patton is what we named him. And I was showing my dog off because he's such a gentle-natured dog and let him pet him and showed him. And in the process of showing my dog off, I left my wallet on top of the car, obviously. But unbeknownst to me, we pull off and leave and go down the interstate. Approximately 5 miles down the interstate, the wallet flies off. The lady makes the call and sets the wheels in motion for the incident that happened on mile marker 287 in the town of Cookeville, Tennessee. Approximately 6 miles before 287, I'm doing 70 mile an hour headed east on I-40 toward home. I noticed a Tennessee State Trooper coming up the road well in excess of the speed limit, but as he approached my car, he braked back and got directly behind me. So 6 miles, we follow, he matches me lane change for lane change on my bumper. So it's obvious to me he singled me out. I'm thinking maybe I got a signal light out, a tail light out, something. He's picked me out of all this traffic out here. He's on my bumper. As I go to turn around into the right lane around a slower moving vehicle with the officer right on my bumper, I notice several police cars coming on the on-ramp getting ready to yield onto the interstate. I'm in the process of going into the right lane. I said, wait a minute, there's not going to be enough room in the right lane for everybody. So I flipped from right signal, turning right, flipped back left signal, back into the left lane, to allow them to come on, and he put the blue light on me. So I'm thinking, hey, some kind of lane change, something he's getting ready to try to start. But what it is he's waiting on his backup. As soon as he sees his backup come up the ramp, he puts the light on me. I immediately pull over. I reach for my wallet to get my driver's license, and I realize I don't have it. So I'm still expecting the officer to come to my window. But no, this brilliant light comes on, and these blaring orders come across the PA system to get our hands up in the car. While I have my hands in the car, he says, now, with your left hand still in the air, take your right hand and take the keys out the ignition and throw them out the window. So I cooperate. Next, he tells me to get out of the car with my hands in the air and walk backwards to the rear of the car. So I cooperate once again. Then he tells me, down on my knees. Well, I'm turned sideways to the car on my knees. He says, no, down on your knees facing the rear of the car. So I have to turn on my knees, face the rear of the car. He says, now put your head on the ground. Put my head on the ground. He comes up, cuffs me. No reading the rights, no nothing. Throws me in the back of a troop car. And then they commence to do the same thing to my wife and child. And that's what really upsets me. And in the process of doing this to my wife and children, the passenger right side door is left open to the car. I'm in the car, in the back seat, talking to the trooper that's got me in his car, saying, sir, in the name of Jesus Christ, shut the door to the car. There's dogs in there. My wife and son are telling the officer right beside him, sir, please shut the door. It's like you're talking to deaf people. They can't hear nothing nobody's saying. No cursing, nothing, just asking him polite. It all falls on deaf ears. So when the final family member is taken from the car, the dog don't like to be by himself. He's coming out the car. He comes out the car and goes down into the grass on the side of the interstate, makes a looping circle towards this officer with a flashlight mounted on his gun. Well, we play with the dog out in the yard with flashlights. He's just running to the light. And the guy shoots him point blank in the head with a shotgun. So,
And then what happened at that point? Your dog's brains are splattered everywhere.
Yes, and I'm telling the guy the whole time, I ain't robbed nobody. I'm a tourist from North Carolina. I'm on my way home. We're just coming from Nashville. Once again, deaf ears. So then they moved my wife and child, who had to witness the dog being shot within, 10 yards is probably an extremely long estimate, probably more like 10 feet from them. They go ahead and take them, put them in the back of the car. Whole time I'm telling the guy, please, sir, we're tourists. My name's James Williams Moak. I was born 3/5/1964. Roundo, South Carolina is on my driver's license. So he calls back to the Tennessee Highway Patrol, who's found my wallet 70 miles down the interstate from where the incident occurred, or 60 miles approximately, and the information matches. So then he says, we've made a mistake. And go. I'm saying, wait a minute.
What did you do? Scoop your dog up and put him in the bag?
They were going to try to take him and put him in a bag. And I said, oh, no, that dog won't stay in Tennessee. That dog's coming home with us. So they gave me a bag. I put my dog in a bag. And we go to the next exit to turn around. I'm thinking I got to go back to 221 where I got gas to get my wallet. Because they told me it was in Davidson County. And my wife goes to file reports with the Cooksville City Police and the Tennessee Highway Patrol, and my father and my other two children are behind us. They see it. They see the incident happening. So we split up. My wife goes to Cooksville City Police Department and the Tennessee Highway Patrolman, and my father and I take his car and go back to exit 221 where I thought my wallet would have to be, because we only stopped to get gas, and the next time we stopped was at the incident.
And then what happened next?
I went into the convenience store and said, I need to get my wallet. They looked at me and said, sir, we don't know anything about a wallet. I said, don't tell me you don't know about a wallet. Tennessee State Highway Patrol just killed my dog, and they told me my wallet's in Davidson County. I know you got my wallet. I said, sir, we don't know anything about a wallet. They had a restroom that was out of order at this particular gas station. My son had walked across the street to another one so he could use the restroom. I said, well, maybe I left it over there. I went into this convenience store. We don't know anything about your wallet.
So when did you finally get your wallet?
I'm getting to that. So I say, well, this is great. They cared enough to call the police and cause all this to happen, and now they don't want to get up off the wallet with the money is what I'm thinking. So I'm so upset about the dog and everything, I could care less about the wallet. I said, let's just go back. So en route, going back to exit 287, the cell phone rings as my wife said, I know where your wallet is. Tennessee State Highway Patrol have it, and they're at exit 239 waiting on you so you can reclaim it. Well, at this time, we passed exit 239, so we have to turn back around, but not a long distance, probably 10 miles. We had two Tennessee State patrolmen waiting with my property. This guy took the time to pick up the money off the side of the road and everything, and they were, you could see the remorse in their eyes. They weren't allowed to talk about it, but they knew that there was a big screw-up had occurred. And I signed the form. He gave my property back, and they told us, this is the first I heard of a citizen with a cell phone calling the robbery in. So we get back in the car, and we head back to Cooksville, and we decide that this is not going to stand, that we're going to have to do something about it and file reports. So we spend the night directly across from the highway patrol at a Super 8 motel in Cooksville, Tennessee. During my wife's process of getting the reports filed, someone gave her the name of Miss Mary Jo Denton, who is works with the Herald Citizen, which is the town paper of Cooksville, and she decides she's interested in publishing this story. So we go there and interview and tell us basically what I've just told you, and she printed it and got the ball rolling for this media exposure of this craziness.
Okay, James Smoke, let me just first tell you a few things here, and I'm sorry to hear this happen to your dog, General Patton, correct?
Yes, sir.
I have been to multiple homes. In fact, I've even thought about making a documentary about this here in Austin, Texas, and I've seen reports from around the country because I scan a little local papers and news wires. SWAT teams have a policy of shooting any dog that is barking.
Yeah.
And I told you about that?
No, sir, I don't. You didn't tell me about that. I witnessed that.
Okay, well, this is something most Americans don't know about. Your case, and I know it was horrible, is nothing compared to inside people's houses. We're talking 25-pound schnauzers. We're talking fat, blind Labradors. They walk in. I've been in a house right here in Austin on a so-called marijuana raid. Of course, nothing was found. They come in. A fat lab gets up, and I go to the house hours after. It isn't even able to get off its bed in the kitchen. The dog has 15 bullet holes in it, intestines all over the wall, brains all over the wall. SWAT team, MP5, sprays it. Just
yeah, they had automatic weapons that I've seen.
Right down the side, just splattering. But look, it gets worse. They don't just have somebody on dog-killing detail on every SWAT raid. They routinely blow innocent people in half, little kids, their own officers, and that's in the back of the paper and isn't picked up nationally. You're just one story that just happened for some reason to get picked up nationally.
Yes, sir.
Because you articulately told the story, but when they do this, they kill your animals, they kill your children, and
totally, I feel like we were a sneeze or a body cramp away from death ourselves. Yes, sir.
Well, by a body cramp, you mean...
You know, when they had us in the position, if you started convulsing with your body and had a cramp, they'd have shot us.
I know. It's horrible. Well, look, I read reports every week where they shoot cops at these SWAT raids. It's just horrible, but Hollywood keeps promoting it, so everybody's got to be part of it now.
And what was particularly appalling, Mr. Jones, was three separate occasions, the trooper that had me in the back of his car walked over to the trigger man, and he comes back grinning like it's funny.
And what was this punk's name?
I'm under legal advice not to use any names or anything.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there has been cases where they sue. There was a case where a cop killed somebody's wife who was unarmed at a house, wrong house, and the man spoke out, and they sued him. Of course, he countersued and won. Yeah, better not list who shot your dog, or you'll be the criminal.
Yeah, I understand. I'm illegal.
Well, no, you need to go ahead and tell the newspapers. You know, you're allowed to say who killed your dog. You haven't done anything wrong. I'll say the name. I'll dig it out. Is the name of the trooper in here in this article?
He's on reports. But it actually wasn't a highway patrolman that killed the dog. It was a Cooksville City policeman who was called to the scene for backup.
So he was smiling about it? What was it?
It actually wasn't a highway patrolman that killed the dog. It was a Cooksville City policeman who was called to the scene for backup. It was over to the side out of the headlights of the car. But the trooper that had me in the car would go over to the trigger man, and as he walked back in front of the car light, he had the biggest grin on his face three separate occasions.
Well, I know this. I'm not allowed to use it because people's lawyers won't let me use it. I was shown by a lawyer 3 years ago, was an old veteran. He wouldn't come out of his house, and his neighbors were worried about him, so they sent a SWAT team around. It was a Korean War veteran. They circled the house, and the SWAT team, awesome SWAT team, went in, gunned him down. He didn't even shoot back, and they gave each other high fives, celebrating like they just scored a touchdown. You know how they do?
Yeah, similar, very similar to what I'm talking about. Very similar.
Well, it's nothing like killing a Korean War veteran. You know, you got to give some high fives.
I'm talking about the celebration. You know, it was like they enjoyed it. Killing of the dog.
Well, you know what? When they're old men, their grandchild's at a checkpoint, it happens to them. Just, I guess they can celebrate that.
I hope nothing like that would ever happen. I hope nothing like this ever happens again.
It happens all the time. Cops get killed all the time by their own moron associates. Well, listen, James Smoke, I hope you sue him. You going to sue him?
Yes, sir.
Well, as this develops, we'll try to get you back on. You've got my number.
Yes,
stay
sir.
In contact with me, sir.
Yes, anything else, I'll be willing to talk and tell my story so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Absolutely. All we need to do is disclose this tyranny. Thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
We'll be back, and I'll cover news. We'll start the third hour, and we'll take calls. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.